Chapter 2. Judgment. Beneath the Mountain. Cohort. Obadiah followed Arcus through the Sothan orbital, feeling small and sheepish in his mighty footsteps. The narrow corridors were filled to bursting with the legionaries and servants of the 199th Ajida Company. It was all he could do not to be stepped upon by the men he so fervently hoped to one day call brother. Sotha was a rare Terran analogue, and upon discovery had been earmarked for rapid settlement, but the process had been put on indefinite hold by Rebute Gilliman after the discovery of Xenos artifacts riddling the tallest mountain of the primary continent. For over a century, the world had been cloaked in secrecy, a site of intense investigation that slowly revealed the purpose of the mountain. A grand beacon that sped travel through the warp, allowed communication across immense distances, and might even permit a man to step from one world to another as if walking between rooms. It was nothing short of miraculous, and it had saved Macragge. Since the Pharos had been brought online to hold together the 500 worlds, the dreams the artifact engendered had grown intrusive to the extent that Captain Adalus had relocated his command center from the surface to the station. Recently, it had become so central to the 199th's operations that the garrison and colonists alike had begun to refer to it as the Ajida Platform. Everyone made way for Sergeant Arcus, and just before they tripped over him, the boy walking in his shadow. The majority of the company had experienced at least something, and all had been subjected to the scrutiny of the Legion's high command, so they knew Arcus's business. None of them knew exactly what had happened to Obadiah, but they knew it was something. A few brothers nodded at him in understanding. Obadiah nodded back, bashful and grateful. The orbital was small. Within 20 minutes, Arcus and Obadiah had crossed the full width of it to arrive at the Apothecarian. The Medicaid Center was as cramped as the rest of the platform, kept in meticulous order by the four apothecaries who commanded it. Obadiah had only been released from the place the day before. His hearts sank as they entered its gleaming white spaces once again. The endless round of tests and implantation procedures he had been subjected to made the Apothecarian wearyingly familiar to him, and for weeks since the incident in the mountain, he had been confined there. For what must have been the 100th time, Arcus led his charge down the main corridor, past gleaming white doors stamped with the prime helix of the Medicaid. Unaltered human Medicaid staff stepped respectfully out of their way, acknowledging the Ultramarines with shallow bows. This time, Arcus took Obadiah past the door to the chambers where the scouts spent so much time being monitored and tested, and into the main hub of the Medicaid Center. From there, he was taken down a corridor guarded by two warriors in the colors and plate of the Third Company. Obadiah stole glances at them as he passed, intrigued by their differences in armor, heraldry, and weaponry. Another stab of regret hit him, that he would not get to serve alongside nor know such honourable warriors. Arcus stopped by a large double door and smiled kindly at Obadiah. "Are you ready, lad?" he said. Obadiah nodded. Arcus stood silent a moment. Obadiah glanced up at him and saw that conflicting emotions played on his face. "You remember what the lion said to us?"
"That we were not to speak of what happened," said Obadiah.
"It goes against my instincts, Neophyte, I'll admit that to you. But once we're in here, you do not mention the mapping mission into the Pharos, nor do you mention your own experience within. Sergeant Neophyte Obadiah, we had a direct order from the Lion. I'd only disobey that if Gilliman himself told me to. To lie to our brothers troubles me, but we cannot ignore the command of a Primarch. As far as the officers in there are concerned, your dreams are just stronger and more frequent than the rest. You predicted the arrival of the Blood Angels in Ultramar, after all. Is that clear?"
Yes, Sergeant, stammered Obadiah.
His mouth was dry. At the thought of deceiving his superiors, the top of his scalp pulsed and his palms crawled. "You're nervous, Neophyte. Do not be. Sometimes it is necessary to withhold information," said Arcus, although his tone suggested he thought otherwise.
He pressed the door button. It hissed open, and the sergeant ushered the scout into a medium-sized, nondescript room he had never been in before. Four ultramarines waited inside. Apothecary Tarikas, the 199th Company's surgeon of recruits, Obadiah knew well. Two medical auxiliaries stood in attendance of him, and their faces Obadiah knew also. To Obadiah's surprise, Captain Adalus himself was there, and he shared a guarded look with the sergeant. The other two officers Obadiah had never seen before. Both wore full warplate. One bore the rare insignia of the Librarius, his head cowled by a metal hood studded with blue crystal. The other was a captain and decked with high honours in intimidating profusion. Obadiah came to an abrupt halt. The captain wore three long service bars studded into his forehead. His skin had the leathery texture especially ancient legionaries developed, and his hair was iron grey.
"Neophyte Obadiah, this is Epistolary Sergio of the Librarius," said Arcus.
Obadiah looked into eyes that shone with power and bowed. "My lord."
"This is Captain Hortensian, in Vigilatus, Major of Recruits."
Obadiah's eyes widened in surprise. He checked his reaction just in time. Hortensian was the highest-ranking officer in the Ultramarines recruitment chamber, ultimately responsible for the intake of the entire Legion. "My lord," he said respectfully. Hortensian gave Obadiah a long, piercing look the scout did his best to meet.
"Do not be alarmed, neophyte."
"I am not alarmed, my lord. Surprised, maybe, and I should not be. Your presence is illogical, practical. What happens here on Sotha is unusual."
"You speak well. We have been told that you were the worst affected by the beacon," said Hortensian.
"Yes, my lord."
"You know our purpose here?"
Obadiah could not keep the sag from his shoulders.
"To see if I am worthy to continue with my training."
"That is so." "He is a fine scout, and will make an excellent legionary," said Arcus.
He placed his hands on the youth's shoulders protectively.
"I found this one in the practice cages, fighting a Theta-class combat drone, no less."
"You allow your recruits to engage Theta-class?" said Hortensian.
"I do not allow it," said Arcus. "Obadiah is rarely disobedient, but apparently he's a resourceful one when he is."
Hortensian looked down at Obadiah appraisingly. Obadiah struggled to stand to attention. He had stood before Gilliman himself. The weight of this man's regard was somehow heavier.
"Your bearing betrays your fears, neophyte Obadiah," said the Invigilatus. "It is not up to you to decide whether or not you are fit, but to me."
Obadiah nodded. "Yes, my lord. I await your judgment."
"You seem eager to have it."
"I am, my lord," said Obadiah. "Once you have given your judgment, then I will know what my future holds, and be better placed to formulate an appropriate practical. Knowing nothing, I cannot formulate a sound course of action."
"A good statement. None shall challenge you, and you may return to your unit without doubt, if you are deemed worthy."
He paused.
"What if you are not?"
"I will do as commanded."
Hortensian nodded.
"As you should. Apothecary, Epistolary, please begin."
"Obadiah, if you would lie down."
Apothecary Tarikas gestured to a slab bed that slid from the wall.
Obadiah did as he was asked without question. Apothecary Tarikas stood at Obadiah's side. His human Medicae assistants fussed over the scout, attaching a number of monitoring devices to his arms. Obadiah limply accepted their ministrations, his eyes fixed on the white ceiling. He wondered how many hours he had spent of his life staring at ceilings such as that.
"What have you done to yourself?" tuttered Tarikas
as he went over Obadiah's wounds.
"I only released you from the Apothecarian yesterday. Are you so keen to return?"
"No, Apothecary. I wish to be worthy," said Obadiah. "There is no other ambition for a neophyte."
"See that you do not destroy all our hard work in your striving."
Tarikas took a bulky injection pod from a silver tray proffered by one of his nurses.
"This will relax you. Brother Sergio will then examine you."
Tarikas pressed the injector against his bicep. There was a quiet hiss, and coloured dots crowded out the apothecarian from his vision. Obadiah came the closest he had been to sleeping since the day he had fallen into the dark, but there was to be no rest for him. He shuddered, and he was back in the mountain. His breathing thundered in his ears, the whine of his blood a deafening contretemps. His agitation had activated his secondary heart again, and the sounding of the double thump of his pulse intensified his feelings of unworthiness. He was no warrior, but a lost boy, frightened of things in the night. He tried to ignore the half-formed presences lurking at the edge of his senses. He tried to keep his training to the forefront of his mind, to banish all emotion. Focus, he thought. They shall know no fear. That had been the Emperor's command and promise of the Legiones Astartes. Focus on it. But for all his enhancements and hypno-training, he was no space marine. Not yet. He was terrified. A deeper fear gripped him, that he had failed, like so many before him, that his fear made him unworthy to join the ranks of the 13th as a full legionary. The shame angered him, and though the anger fought his fear, still he anticipated what was to come with dread. He remembered what happened exactly, cursed by his enhanced memory. The pain of the knowledge would live with him forever, even as the faces of his family faded. His dream self rode his memories, urging the Obadiah of the past to stop where he was, not to take the next step and take the plunge into the night and its terrible illumination. He wanted to turn around, to find some small light that would hold back the dark. But he could not. All this had already happened. 4 steps, that was all. 4 steps before he fell, and he knew too much. Obadiah's foot lifted, and his dream self shouted out a warning, urging him to embrace the safety of ignorance. A mind touched his own, calm, suffused him. In his dream, his foot paused, halting above the abyss. Enough, an unfamiliar voice said, and the dream was over. A hand took his, firm and fatherly. Obadiah opened his eyes. They were gritty, as if from a long night's sleep. The whiteness of the apothecarian dazzled him after the remembered dark. Neophyte Obadiah, are you awake? Sergeant Arcus stood over him, holding his hand gently. It took Obadiah a moment to gather his thoughts. Obadiah! Arcus looked behind himself and spoke to the others. He has been like this often. Obadiah held up his hand and pushed himself from the cot. The gel pads of monitoring equipment that had not been there when he went into his vision pulled at his skin. Shakily, he swung his legs over the side. I am awake. His throat was dry. Had he slept? He hung his head and gripped the side of the bed. His hands felt too large. In the dream, he had not been as he was. He had retreated to an earlier, more vulnerable state, a true boy, not a halfway chimera between human and transhuman. I am awake, he repeated, mainly to convince himself. Taricus motioned that Obadiah should lift the sleeve of his tunic. The hypo device rotated a fresh set of needles into position, and he pressed these into the boy's arm. Taricus held up the attached device to his face and hummed at the results playing over the screen, then consulted the larger display embedded in the wall over the cot. All results are normal. The neophyte remains a perfect subject for transformation, medically speaking. A third spoke. Obadiah lifted his head at the sound of this voice, for it had spoken in his dream. He shows no sign of psychic taint. The boy is not a psyker, said Sergio. Arcus looked down at Obadiah as if asking his permission for something, then stood between his ward and his examiner. It is as I said, Brother Sergio. None of my boys have such abilities. Please inform Lord Prato of your findings, and all will be in order. He is an exceptional candidate. Arcus, said Adelus warningly. Sergio's eyes narrowed. Obadiah longed to escape their scrutiny. It is as Sergeant Arcus says, said Adelus. All of us who have spent any time on the mountain have had similar dreams and visions.
Obadiah has spent more time there than most, that is all.
Why? Asked Hortensian.
Your rotation schedule says no member of the 199th spends longer than 1 week upon the surface at a time.
Obadiah spent a lot of time there before I altered the company's duty roster. The scouts have done, and still do, a lot of their training around the area. The terrain is ideal, and they add another layer of security to operations there.
You also have spent a great deal of time on the surface, brother, countered Hortensian. Your experiences have not put you into a near coma.
Obadiah watched his superiors. A certain amount of tension entered the exchange.
None of you report the intensity of what this boy says he experienced, said Sergio.
None of the rest of us are neophytes, said Arcus. He is the youngest of all the recruits. Perhaps his age makes him more susceptible. He was the one who dreamed of the arrival of Sanguinius and the Ninth Legion, to our advantage. It is a matter of exposure, I hold.
Sergio stared at Adelus a long time, his face inscrutable.
You understand that we must investigate these manifestations. The enemy openly courts extra-dimensional fiends.
Demons, said Adelus flatly.
If you will, said Sergio.
However you name them, we have entered uncharted territory. No potential risk can go unchallenged.
I myself dreamed of Kurz's attack on Magna Macrag Civitas, and I am no psyker, said Adelus.
You are not, agreed Sergio.
So then, said Adelus, now you have judged us all, and Obadiah, you have probed the longest. Surely you are done with your investigation.
Your tone is sharp, Captain, warned Hortensian.
My apologies, brother. I am diverting a great deal of time and energy to this investigation when I should be seeing to the fortification of Sotha. I beg your forgiveness.
Remember that we are here at the Primarch's command, Adelus, said Hortensian. Epistolary, are you satisfied?
Sergio breathed out. His face lost its intensity and relaxed. He blinked like a man drawn abruptly from the fields of memory. He transformed in that moment, becoming someone kinder, though his air of uncanniness lingered.
I am. Your verdict?
I shall return to Lord Prato and report that the 199th is free of the influence of the warp.
What of the visions? Is there anything more to be gleaned from them? Said Hortensian.
Obadiah has a foreboding of some great calamity, said Sergio. That much I could read. There have been verified precognitive episodes here, but equally, many legionaries have had dreams that have not come to pass. Any foreknowledge is unreliable, and predictions from a Xenos machine I am suspicious of. Furthermore, once one is aware that visions and omens are possible, then every ripple in a pool of water takes on unwarranted significance. What concerns Obadiah could be conjured from imagination alone. Best to be vigilant against any threat. It is all we can do. What I am sure of is that whatever is causing your warriors to experience what they do is not born directly of the immaterium.
What is it? Asked Adelus. Are my men safe?
The librarian shrugged. A question better suited for a tech marine than I, but I see no adverse effect.
An opinion that will satisfy the Lord Protector and our father.
I believe so, said Sergio. Arcus's stance lost some of its tension.
And neophyte Obadiah? Do you judge him fit for his duties?
The librarian smiled at the youth. Another question better directed elsewhere, Sergeant. You are the man to answer that. But if you want my opinion, I agree that he will make a fine warrior.
Then why do I feel fear?
Blurted out Obadiah. He looked at his superiors wretchedly. You have experienced a great shock, said Taricus. Your indoctrination is incomplete. Your reaction is well within acceptable limits. It will be months more until your conditioning is finished and fear banished forever.
What he is trying to say, boy, said Arcus, is that with everything that has been happening, it is normal to be afraid.
I have not failed.
Your candidacy is unaffected. I fully expect your anxiety to diminish and disappear, said Taricus. He took a data slate from his auxiliaries, checked it, and dismissed them. If it does not, you must be truthful and tell me or a member of the induction staff. Fear can be dealt with. What is your opinion, Captain?
Far be it for me to interfere directly with the 199th's recruitment procedures. If you judge him fit, notwithstanding these extraordinary events, then fit he is.
Obadiah looked to Arcus. The sergeant was as relieved as the boy.
Do you wish to return to normal duties, Obadiah? Asked Arcus. The rest of your cohort returned from the surface today and are in the auxiliary barracks.
Obadiah nodded decisively. Yes, my lord, I am tired of this place.
And you are not frightened to die? Asked Hortensian.
Never, said the boy firmly. I fear only failure. That, and the dark beneath the mountain, he added to himself. This he did not voice.
Then there is nothing wrong with you, Arcus said reassuringly. To conquer fear, you first have to face it. A space marine knows no fear only because he has bested it.
He can rejoin his group's activities as soon as he feels strong enough, said Taricus. Any difficulty he is experiencing is minor and purely psychological. He'll recover more quickly surrounded by his peers.
I was strong enough for you to let me go, Apothecary Taricus. Obadiah got to his feet. His legs did not betray him as he expected, but felt strong beneath him. I am ready to return to my cohort. Obadiah opened up his equipment locker and took out his harness of carapace armor. He weighed the tangle in his hands. Thick leather straps, cobalt blue plates of plasteel and laminated fiber weave. The Ultima symbol of the Legion was bold and white upon the left shoulder guard. The curving horns of the letter imprisoned a black scythe, the mark of the 199th Company. His cohort designation was displayed on the right pauldron, a circle quartered in the yellow and black company colours, a white LV painted over the top. The 55th Squad. He gripped them tightly, resolving to stow them better the next time he had cause to put them away. Placing the armor gently on the floor of his locker, he took out the rest of his uniform. Off-white fatigues, more leather strap webbing for his multiple pouches, holstered bolt pistol and sheathed combat knife. Thoughtfully, he unpinned his duty robes. For so long he had been fixated on the difficulties of passing the recruitment process. Now his fear of failure abated, leaving him peculiarly calm. He was irritated with himself. His uniform was in a state Arcus would refer to as a disgrace. There was nothing new there, but for the first time, Obadiah agreed with him. He had to do better. His thoughts were rudely interrupted by a wiry body crashing into his side, arms wrapped around him in a high tackle that took him down to the floor. Obadiah twisted onto his back, jammed his feet against his attacker's chest, and heaved upwards, slamming the assailant into the row of lockers with a resounding boom that echoed through the empty arming room. Tebakai, Obadiah's squad brother, sprawled on the floor, alternating between boyish laughter and gasping at the blow. A wiry boy from the far side of the 500 worlds. He had funny habits and skin so pale it was luminous as milk. He was incorrigibly cheerful, somewhat irritating, and he never shut up. He was Obadiah's closest friend.
6 weeks up here has done you little harm, gasped Tebakai. He winced and clutched at his shoulder. That hurt.
Obadiah tried to scowl, but a slow smile drove it away.
Tebakai, I hear you've been cleared to join us.
You hear right. The two of them got to their feet. They clasped arms the warrior's way until Tebakai yanked Obadiah hard into an embrace.
Connor's balls, man, you gave me such a fright. I thought that was it and you were done.
I'm all right, said Obadiah. He didn't want to admit he had feared the same. He pushed his friend off.
Really? There's no need to overreact. I'm back, and that is an end of it.
Tebakai rubbed the back of his neck.
I'm not overreacting. It's not been the same without you. Every night, all Ptolemachus has been chucking his guts up. His hormones won't settle, and I've been paired with Solon 3 times. 3 times! Do you know how boring Solon is?
20 degrees to the left, up a bit,
he said, mimicking the other scout. That is the most I get out of him all day. He's such a bore.
Tebukai, jabbering relentlessly is not a sign of good character. If he's quiet, he is just quiet.
Yeah, well, you probably would say that. You've always been a little less upbeat than me.
He jerked a thumb into his chest. His fading augmentation scars were silver threads on his pale skin. You've always had a little of the misery worm in you.
I have not. I take things a little more seriously than you, that is all. I want to be worthy of the honour of the 13th. What's your story?
I only want to be worthy of the honour, parroted Tebukai. You don't have to be dreary to be a legionary.
He grabbed Obadiah in a headlock and rubbed at the stubble of his hair, no matter that Obadiah was taller and stronger than he.
Dreary!
Obadiah grabbed his wrist and tried to force it back. Tebukai laughed as they mock fought.
All right, enough, said Obadiah, laughing a little too as he broke free. Give me a rest. I got out of the apothecarian yesterday.
I can see, said Tebukai, nodding at the fresh wounds visible through Obadiah's open shirt. Looks like they weren't gentle with you. What have they done to your face?
I've been in the training decks.
Fighting what?
Obadiah didn't answer, but got his uniform out and began dressing.
What have we got today?
Hypnomat, grade 5 vehicle maintenance and piloting. 6 hours of that, 2 hours of chem balancing, then weapon strip, then 4 hours of Legion history.
A dull one. You picked a great day to come back.
But I am back.
That you are.
Tebukai slapped him on the back and became serious.
I'm glad of it. You should know that.
Me too. Sitting around up here on my own has been very dull.
Dreary, said Tebukai mockingly.
Yeah, that.
Obadiah attempted cheerfulness for his friend, and in truth, only a part was a sham. Nevertheless, beneath his resolve, his experience within the Pharos dogged him. Something terrible was going to happen.